Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. Some news from the weekend. All right, we got two major bits of news, although one really isn't much of an update, more of a lack of pulling lottery balls. But we're going to talk about the Steve Kerr re-signing for 2 years. We're going to talk about the Warriors officially staying at the 11th spot in the draft. And we'll kind of look at, I think, at four prospects that we'll talk about and essentially what the Warriors should be looking for and how that's going to affect them and who may be our best options there if we keep the pick at all. Let's start with Steve Kerr. All right, well, stays attached to the Steph Curry era, the Draymond Green era for now. And I think all things considered, I'm happy with Steve Kerr coming back. I know he has his flaws, and especially the Warriors' Twitter these days is quick to point out every poor substitution he puts in, poor rotation decisions, being too small, 4G lineups, all that stuff. I understand it. I sometimes agree with it. Sometimes it's just the way the team's constructed. But all that being said, I'm a big Steve Kerr guy. I mean, the guy knows how to win. He knows how to manage stars. He knows how to work with Steph Curry, obviously, who I guess almost every coach could manage Steph Curry, but he can manage Draymond Green as well as you can hope for. And at least he has the utmost respect from Draymond, which goes a long way despite Draymond needing occasional anger management classes. It's not going to matter who his coach is at those points. I think Steve Kerr manages him well. And I, most importantly with Steve Kerr, I just like his system for Steph Curry. The off-ball stuff, the movement. I think he's been able to maximize Steph, at least offensively, probably as well as you can. I think that his system is what I would do if you have Steph. And knowing that, I also have to say, taking it with a grain of salt, because quite frankly, it hasn't been working that much in the last couple of years. The offense, especially without Steph, has been terrible. Even with Steph, it's been good, but not good enough to win at better than much more of a 500% win rate. So what can you do different? My optimism comes from the fact that the front office and Steve Kerr have spent 2 weeks talking about this. And it sounds like both sides have hopefully relented in their stubbornness, knowing that, hey, there are philosophies of Kerr's that work well. There are others that don't. And I think Steve is open to hopefully trying some new things. Maybe, you know, analytically optimizing this team for less turnovers, which, I mean, if it means less passes, I don't know where I fall with that. I'm obviously a ball movement person, a team-oriented guy. On paper, it makes sense. In theory, it makes sense. But when you start turning the ball over 25 times a game because of just, you know, I guess kind of pointless passes where you're just swinging around the perimeter and you have just at least 4 to 6 of these just unnecessary passes and honestly just turning it over at half court, which leads to dunks on the other end and leads to big runs and changes in momentum, and you're losing games just by, I don't want to say overpassing, but by making careless passes, which this team has proven that they can't get out of their system. And whether it's Steph, Dre, or other, it's the system of too many passes. So how do you refine that to make intentional passes, keep it moving, but you're not just, you know, playing hot potato for the sake of it and exposing the ball. Those are things you need to think about. Maybe you put the ball in playmakers' hands more often and just let them try to create an isolation, more pick and roll. You have to still keep spacing principles. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. I still think that the number one thing the Warriors need to fill, just from a roster standpoint, but then also just from a system standpoint, is you need better play finishing. Primarily better play finishers. You know, with Steph Curry on there, you're creating as many opportunities to finish at the hoop, throw lobs, get wide open threes. You know, the Warriors have those opportunities with Steph on the court. So that's not really a system thing. That's more of a, hey, can you get athletes who can finish and go up and finish at the rim? Can you have enough shooters that can knock down open threes? We've tried a little bit of the latter with shooters, and you just live with 3-point variance and you die with 3-point variance. So maybe Steve Kerr needs to relent a little bit on high IQ, skilled, under athletic type players. They're still important, but with that, you're losing a with that athleticism, lack of athleticism, you're losing a lot of just that lob threat, that baseline dunker role, other than like using like GP2 in that role. And he is like probably your best athlete, weirdly enough. You're just losing a lot in terms of athleticism when you're getting guys that just can't play for Kerr. Your best athlete was Jonathan Kuminga, and you couldn't play for Kerr. And then you haven't really gone out, and now you're just naked at the wing right now, especially with Moody and Butler gone for at least half the season. And really, your only wing player is Gui Santos, who is a Steve Kerr guy, but again, he lacks an athleticism, and he's not going to go up and dunk much. And yeah, so that's just my critiques on Kerr and just this team in general. You have to have more play finishers, and you just need more athleticism just to guard that perimeter in general on defense. Whether it's relying on Melton or GP2 to try to slow down guards and wings on the defensive side, you just need to get more athletic on the wing so you have guys that can basically shut off the faucet on the better perimeter players in the league and just make life a little bit easier. And now you're not having to give GP2 as well as he played all year. You're not having to play him 20 plus minutes per game. Which we'll get into kind of more of that ideology in just a bit when we're looking at the prospects in the draft. But just to kind of close with Kerr, I'm happy, and I'm happy we have a basically what looks like a 2-year window. I'm gonna hope Steph re-signs for the full max of two more years past this year, so three more. So if there's any indication that, hey, Kerr's 2 year and then Curry only signs for one more year, then it really is looking like a 2-year window. I'm hopeful to be greedy and at least get three more years of runs for Steph. At 41 years old, we'll see what that looks like. But again, that's the only thing that this 2 year, I guess I would have hoped if it was going to be anything, I would hope for a 3 year, but 2 years, I guess we'll take it. So keep moving forward, keep growing as a team, but you need to continue evolving, both as a head coach and both as a front office. And yeah, I guess this is better than a shakeup because if you lose Kerr, now you're truly doing a whole reset and you're just riding out Steph Curry, which they might be doing anyways. But again, if you change your head coach, everything changes, and who even knows what that even looks like. So, all right, happy to keep Kerr. You may disagree and let me know why in the comments. I'm sure many of you have an opinion against Kerr. That's okay. Let's move on to the draft. Warriors, I tried to put on my jersey, my hat, do everything we could for some luck, but the ping pong balls did not fall our way, and the Warriors keep their 11th pick. I guess the only thing worse would have been the OKC jumping up into the top four and the Warriors moving down to 12, and basically OKC would just be untouchable forever, like it already might be. But Warriors keep the pick. Immediate question is, what do you do with the pick, right? Do you put it on the block? Do you trade it, or do you keep it? There is no right answer at this point. You need to at least entertain and see what that pick can go get you. Warriors are always in the hunt for a big name, whether in the trade market that's for Kawhi Leonard. Just going to say Giannis right now, and hopefully we don't even have to say Giannis for the rest of the summer. Actually, no, hopefully we do because maybe he'll say he wants to play for the Warriors, but I'm going to try not to even worry about this Giannis situation. He's not going to be a Warrior. So, I mean, in what situation, what does that pick even get you? Because you're going to have to attach it to a contract. If you're going to get a star type player like Kawhi, you're going to have to attach Jimmy Butler to it, which, I mean, it's an upgrade, but how much of an upgrade is it getting rid of Jimmy and picks to go get another max level player? If it's Giannis, that's one thing. Kawhi's great too, but does it put you over the top? It makes you better. I don't know if it puts you over the top. I'm still on board with getting a star, get as much top heavy talent as you can, but I could see the path to using that pick and maybe a smaller contract, like maybe Porzingis sign and trade, maybe a Draymond Green opt in and trade, and you go get yourself some kind of the mid, not superstar, but kind of young rising wing, athletic wing that you can get for, maybe that $20 million range. Maybe you can get a couple of those players and try to do what the Thunder have done by just getting a whole bunch of deep, young, athletic, not even young, but just athletic wings who can all play defense, who can all kind of play make, who can all create and knock down shots. And you just kind of build your team through depth rather than having all your money tied up in two or three guys. That's another potential path. I couldn't even tell you who that might be, but if you're looking at that 11th pick, maybe that's a way to add kind of like that, I don't know, call it an Andrew Wiggins type player, right? I don't know if Wiggs would ever come back, but that's kind of my idea. You have, throw a pick in and either Dre or Porzingis' contract and go get something like that. Or you use the pick. So for now, we'll say unless a home run comes along, we're gonna just hold on to that pick and you're kind of playing the middle, right? I mean, you could just draft for someone, you could draft a point guard or a shooting guard, and they're probably not gonna help you do much immediately, but you at least have your guard for the future, hopefully in a few years after Steph retires. You could play that game because there are a lot of point guards in that like 5 to 10, 11-ish range in the draft. For me, I'm not doing that. I'm committing to just trying to give Steph a little bit of a run here. So you want to draft somebody that can still give you a little bit of bridging the gap for the future and maybe turn into kind of like a franchise type cornerstone. But you need someone that's going to be able to contribute and help this team in the next 2 years. We're operating under the fact that, hey, Steve Kerr's here for 2 years. Steph's here for two, maybe a few more years. Draymond's probably here for a couple years. Maybe Jimmy Butler 1 or 2 years. You need someone that can help us now and just give us a chance at a playoff run. So, like we talked about in the draft specifically, you're not at 11. You're not going to find somebody that does everything for you at an elite level. So, you're going to have to kind of pick and choose where you think you can get contributions in his rookie and second year. Realistically, the defensive upside and athleticism is something that is in play more quickly than in, someone that's going to be on ball, playmaking, decision making, just the offensive side of the ball, including shot making, tends to come along a little slower. So for that reason, I think it makes the most sense to look for an athletic wing player. We definitely need some positional size. We definitely need a wing. And you can get him some minutes early in the year with the injuries that we have. Give me an athletic wing that has defensive upside is what I'm looking for. And play finishing would be very nice. Like I said earlier, somebody that can basically be in that GP2 role where, hey, on defense, you're guarding perimeter, maybe multiple spots. It'd be great if you had length to give a little bit of a weak side rim protection, something the Warriors do not have once the perimeter's broken down. The bigs come over to help, and now all of a sudden you're just left with an undersized Moody, Buddy Hield, Pajemski, whoever it is, and that at that on your wing in that two or three spot just does not give you any sort of rim protection on that weak side, and it's an easy dunk. You need someone who can rotate over and actually provide that as a wing, and again, as play finishing, you need somebody who can be in that potential action. Maybe in the, as a roller, someone that can kind of just catch a lob, finish like GP2, someone that can catch and make a good read and make a good pass like GP2 does well, and or someone who can knock down an open three like GP2 does not do well, but someone who can at least provide you with a little bit of spacing, someone kind of like a Gui Santos, where it's enough and he can knock down some open shots. You're not going to expect a 37% shooter, but give me someone that could shoot in that 35% range, and I will take that for a first, second year player. So that's what I'm looking for. Obviously, the length, athleticism is kind of the key here because we need to get more athletic. So I'm gonna get into kind of four names that, Warriors media has been kind of tossing around, and without having done a ton of research myself, this is just, scratching the surface of what I like before we even get into the combine and all that kind of stuff. So I don't love all four, but I'm just gonna kind of analyze all four, and then we'll figure out what we actually think at the end. So first, from Tennessee, Nate Ament, freshman. This is kind of the upside pick. He's 6'10". And he's really skinny, but he's 6'10", really high upside. He's kind of a raw player, but he can handle the ball. He shows guard characteristics. He's a versatile offensive player. Doesn't finish well at all. Very inefficient at the hoop. His overall field goal percentage was like under 40%. He doesn't really use his size very well on either side, but again, he has that length and kind of that versatility on offense. It gives you some hope for future upside as a they were saying he could be outside of the top four players, maybe as much upside as anybody in the draft. Again, it's kind of a project. I don't know if that exactly fits the Warriors' timeline, but if he can provide at that size, elite defensive match metrics, play finishing at that size as a lob threat, and maybe space the court a little bit, that's fantastic. The problem is he doesn't really do that. He is tended to like kind of float on defense. Again, doesn't use his size or length that well. Only 0.6 blocks as a 6'10" kind of lengthy guy. Not a, I think he, like maybe a steal. And again, he kind of plays more like a guard. So I don't know if he's really much of a lob threat or a play finisher at whatever, under 40% field goal percentage. I'm going to say he's not a good play finisher. So again, can he embrace defense? Can he say, yeah, I'm going to just be a defensive stopper and I have the tools to do it and be that for a year or two and then let that offense grow? Yeah, that might be your path to contributing a bit now and using those minutes provided at the wing spot for the first, half of the season with the Warriors and try to mature and grow and then eventually maybe become that type of player that can lead a post Steph era. A little too much of a project for me currently, but let's see. We'll see how his workouts go. As we learn more about him, maybe he just is kind of one of those guys beyond his years and the effort starts, maybe it's just something kind of clicks for him. On the flip side, next guy we'll talk about from Michigan. Which one am I going to talk about? Let's talk about Jaxel Lendeberg, if I said his name right. He's 23. So you're kind of playing the opposite side here. Like the Warriors have tended to draft a lot of older guys out of college. They've tended to draft a lot of winners out of college, like an LJ Cryer. There's a couple others, but yeah, they try to get guys that have showed winning capabilities. And Lindenborg obviously led Michigan to a championship last year. 6'9", 240. Great size as a wing player. I guess he's kind of a power forward, but maybe you can kind of put him in that, stretch him out to a three, kind of that just big four, big wing type player. And he's a Swiss Army knife. And that's good and bad, right? It's limited on his upside just in terms of athleticism. Kind of a late bloomer. Obviously, he's 23, like we said, but took him a few years and a couple of transfers until he finally broke out last year at Michigan. But he was one of the best players in the country, if not the best last year. He averaged 15 points, 7 rebounds-ish, 3.2 assists, and he had 1.2 blocks and 1.1 steals, shot 37% from three, 51.5% from the field. Bring those numbers to the NBA and the Warriors are making a run next year because that is exactly what you want out of a player who could potentially help you immediately with good positional size. Biggest part about Lendeborg is he has the potential to be a defensive stopper, right? Great stocks and all that, but for the most part, very good defender, smart player. He's a winner. You're on a winning team playing against the best, probably the best talent in the Big Ten all last year, and just really shows that he has the potential to be a great, two-way player, can create a bit on offense, smart, very good feel for the game, can space the floor slightly. And, if he continues to shoot at a good clip and give you some offensive contributions and continues rebounding well and is that defensive stopper, you're looking at a pretty elite role player upside, maybe not superstar upside just because of the athleticism and again, just being a late bloomer and being kind of older, maybe not quite there, but you're talking, and maybe not the highest scoring type guy, but you're talking about again, a guy who I guess, you can talk about like a Draymond Green. It's hard to have comparisons to Draymond Green, but if he can kind of find his way, and again, embrace defense there, learn from Draymond, and then on offense, just kind of be, a contributor and not the best scorer again, but just kind of find ways to be impactful on both sides. I could see him, maybe being able to kind of play up and play, be a good defensive power forward. Steve Kerr, I'm sure, will probably try to use him at center at some point or another, but hey, at least he's got 2 inches on Draymond. But again, I like that pick for the Warriors. If I'm deciding, hey, this is the 2 year win I want to go for, I think Lendenborg is the pick that I would go with at potential sacrifice to bridging the gap and being a superstar upside future. I think if Steve Kerr had his pick, he would be a Lendenborg guy. If Joe Lacob has his pick, he's probably going to go for a more of an athletic project like Ament. Something kind of in between. We're going all the way over the pond to New Zealand by way. Or sorry, yeah, New Zealand, who originally was from Mexico, Kareem Lopez. Obviously, I didn't watch too much New Zealand League basketball this year, but I'm just kind of going off of a couple highlight videos and just kind of reading a bit. 6'9". 225 with a 7'1 wingspan. And his kind of calling card is he has the potential to be an elite defensive prospect. He's a very explosive, great athlete. I think he was like a block and 1.2 steals per game. So on the defensive side, he's what you're looking for. Might even be better than Lendeborg. And he's plays very physically. He has a good IQ, really good instincts, good feel for the game on both sides of the court, particularly defense, kind of just coming off of his guy to make some chase down blocks and help on defense. So definitely someone that could potentially help from a defensive, athletic, kind of wing upside type mold. The offensive game's the question marks here. 12 points per game. I think this is only 25 minutes though, so you can kind of extend it out a bit. But 12 points per game, 6 rebounds, which is good. And he shot 32% from three. So, that jump shot is probably what's going to be the slowest thing to come along and just kind of the overall feel on offense. Sure, he could probably log you some minutes and contribute, but if he's not going to knock down threes or really kind of give you much contribution, helping your offense, it's hard to know that he's going to help you in this short window, but he does kind of check some boxes. As a play finisher, I couldn't really get too much of a read on that. I mean, at his size and that wingspan, I would like to think he can go up and throw some things down and finish at the hoop. I just don't really know. But if he can kind of give you that vertical element as well as, show a more reliable jump shot from three, I could see the Warriors potentially taking a swing on this guy. They went out and saw him in New Zealand earlier this year. So they do have interest in him. New Zealand has produced some good players, Dyson Daniels. I guess you can call LaMelo Ball that, but they played in New Zealand's basketball league. So the competition, not all that bad. But if you're only scoring 12 points per game overseas, I tend to question what your offense is going to do in the NBA. Last guy we'll look at, what does he be kind of quickly, but he's a former Bruin, but also now a champion, Adai Mara. 21 years old, 7'3" with a 7'7" wingspan. Think Chet Holmgren in terms of kind of build and look, maybe not quite as skinny. Gives you elite shot blocking potential. I think 2.6 blocks per game at Michigan, obviously against high level competition. Bit of a late bloomer. I was pumped when I thought UCLA was going to get. Or when UCLA got him and they said he had lottery upside and it just didn't really show for 2 years. And then he transfers to Michigan. And of course, he balls out and wins a ship and gets himself into lottery talks here. But he is basically someone you're going to look at if you lose Porzingis and or Draymond Green for whatever reason, and you just need some rim protection. You're looking for some kind of defensive anchor and you're just going to, I mean, it'd be a very different look, I'll tell you that. But if you there's a big shakeup, yeah, you could look at Mara just to kind of anchor that defense on the back end. On offense, he's solid. He's pretty soft overall, but he's getting a little stronger and growing into that body. But aside from that defensive side on offense, showed he can kind of play out of the post, has a little like hook shot and can finish all right inside. I think like 12 points per game, especially if he gets kind of a good mismatch. And then if that double team comes, he's shown that he can be a very good passer out of that double team. And he's a little bit of a jump shot. You know, he'll shoot some threes. He's like only like 30%, but it's something that he'll take if he's open. And if that can kind of grow, and you know, if guys like Jonas Valanciunas can learn to shoot three pointers and knock those down, and you know, some of these other guys in the NBA can turn into decent 3-point shooters, sure, why not Mara? And if you get that, now you have maybe a low level stretch 3-and-D center in Mara, but that would be kind of a YOLO pick, but it's just something if you're looking at some size and center and rim protection. All right, there will be much more draft talk. We're just going to get kind of into it, but this is your preliminary for now. Let's just not too much of a shakeup in head coach, not too much shakeup in draft picks. So Warriors continue to just be kind of a middling team, and we will see what moves will be made. All right, I'll be in with hopefully more juicy news as the offseason picks up. Until next time, give me a like, subscribe. I'm Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.